Morning. Today's little talk is going to be much more of a conversation than it is going to be me speaking to you for a few minutes, because I think Dr. Wong has definitely laid out the principles involved in what I'm about to talk about. In particular, the situation we all face with a very uncertain financial future and dwindling resources. So there's no sense in reiterating or making us all feel bad on a Thursday morning. What I want to concentrate on is a component of your program, which is your technology component, and offer you potentially a solution or an alternative that may seem radical because it involves actually collaborating and working across jurisdictions and sharing resources. So if that disturbs you, run for the door. If you're a vendor, you definitely want to ease closer to the door, because I may run you out before it's over. David versus Goliath is an interesting metaphor because it has very different connotations to different people. This would be the bedtime story that I'm very familiar with. Sometimes it involves an act of defiance, something against the culture that you're immersed in. Sometimes it's looking at situations where you're facing overwhelming odds. Sometimes it's just a matter of size when you think about David versus Goliath. And then there's modern interpretations of David versus Goliath that you may be familiar with. But I want to focus on a very important topic, and that is the resource. And to get into this just a little bit, I just want to reintroduce you to someone who you may have been familiar with at one time. His name is George. He actually came into your offices without a lot of trouble in the past. But since you work for SDD, let me refamiliarize yourselves with the actual. There you go. Now you remember this. And this is George when he walks in the door now. And this is how you do the clinical services, fund your DIS, run your program. That's how we're familiar with George. George definitely had an impact on public health in 2007 when the principal product I'm going to talk about we introduced in 2007. And see that small sliver up here?
That 3%, that's us.
And that was in 2007, so you can only imagine how the sliver has slivered away, as Dr. Wong has adequately explained this morning. Technology is an expensive thing. It is very expensive in terms of implementation, development, use, maintaining it. We introduced a product called Prism, which was not vendor-based, but developed by a series of experts in subject areas that came in and worked with us and developed the application. What's unique about it? Unique in the sense that this is a copyrighted product. Why is it copyrighted? I don't want vendors taking the code, running off, and reselling this product to you, dwindling that George piece of George that you've got left. What it is copyrighted so that we can actually share it across jurisdictions. It has lots of business intelligence and workflow that's founded not on people coming into your office and gathering requirements, but people that were assigned to do the work, who were sent to do DIS work, who were sent to the county health departments to do the data entry. Because surely you can't design a product or produce something unless you're intimately familiar with what you're actually trying to solve or trying to help support. It's interoperable. It has customization capacity because the products behind it is commonly known. They're Microsoft products. I call it a modified open source because pure open source people are probably falling on the floor understanding that I used Microsoft products, and they may need support and life support at some point. But it's a modified open source approach. Why? Because Microsoft technology like SQL Server, other things are commonly known in the information technology community, particularly your IT staff that are at your home jurisdictions. We issue a collaboration by signing or verbal agreements of general public license. And here's the caveat. When we share the product, the only thing that we ask back is that if you create something or modify it, be willing to share it. And over time, what you have is like a banquet. The product grows, the components grow, the people that come in later pick and choose like you're at some sort of buffet to build their own application, reducing the overhead, reducing the cost. It's cost effective in support because it uses technology that's primarily supportable in your local IT units. It's also designed in a way that most people can handle supporting this, even one person in particular states. And it's integratable into the enterprise. So let me talk for just a minute about why that's important, particularly now, because over and over again, you keep seeing these themes and these questions that even Dr. Wong brought up at the end. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, fundamentally, you're asked to do everything you did 5 years ago at more than half of the resources that you have lost. And no one can guarantee that 2 years from now you're not looking at more loss. But I guarantee you when you go to work the next day, they're going to ask you to do the same level of work. There's no one that's scaling back the workload based on the capacity that you have. So the fundamental question from my end is, how can we start making technology more affordable? Well, here's the first thing we can start doing. Again, just one person's opinion. Let's break away from traditional approaches of technology development. What's the sense of a program going out and spending this much of your budget to develop applications and technology that you're going to keep for yourself? And generally, in the traditional approach, you're going to go out and contract with a vendor who is going to come in with the idea that they own that code when they're done with it. You don't. And if you want modifications to that code, you're going to come to them, and you're going to pay them for those modifications. And so why spend your money in that capacity when you can actually spend your money developing something that's transportable to another place or another jurisdiction who can build on that capacity and start sharing this information across the country? I understand, believe me, the traditions of it is my program, and when you cross that border, I own this program. But in a world that we live in today, can you afford to think that way anymore? Don't you think that it's possible, just thinking out loud, that it's more fundamentally sound to actually start sharing resources across jurisdictions? When the more you share those resources expand instead of shrink, and they're not limited to simply the resources within your jurisdiction. Yeah, it's an investment in our collective future, folks. From my perspective, every time you spend a dollar, every time we get a dollar through a grant, it affects everybody. And I'll be the poster child of some other situations we've had in national conferences. Florida seems to be the vacation heaven for everyone. At 100,000 cases of disease a year, we share a lot of your residents, folks, that come down and share the love with us and leave. So I'm not saying I want a little gratuity. I'm just saying that we do share diseases across borders. So there's a collaborative environment that we live in where we work together already through interstate communications, the OOJ process. And my point here really is to talk about the idea or the concept of owning something versus renting it. You know, fundamentally, when you go out and you purchase a product off the shelf, they call it COTS, you don't own that. Somebody else owns it. When you go out and you develop independent and you don't share across jurisdictions, you don't, again, you're not owning it. You're renting it. And so what I'm saying here is there's a concept here in public health, an opportunity to change our paradigm, to look at more collective endeavors across jurisdictions that allow us to own a product. And that's critical, because if you own it, here's the next thing. Gone are the days where IT used to be the apes of the world, okay? Let me explain what I'm saying. IT's grown up. If any of you are familiar with the IT processes, there are governance processes now. There are standards. Every jurisdiction has an IT department that's fairly well developed that tell you what the requirements are. 10 years ago, when IT was sort of in its infancy, realistically, you could come in the door with any product that you wanted, slap it on a server, and you go off and run in it, right? Most of you supported staff within your own budgets were IT people. They were the STD-MIS people, right? The people that slept at the computer and tried to keep it running and avoiding the red screen of death and all those wonderful things that were present years ago. Well, now technology is at a point where it needs to be compatible. If you want to gain the efficiencies of electronic lab reporting, if you want to gain the efficiencies of interoperability with your clinical applications and all of those things that make you more efficient, you've got to have a product that fits well with that particular approach. And my warning to you is, as we evolve, let's produce products that enable you to do that a little bit better. Just to give you an idea that I'm not talking in the abstract, Florida's product hit the scene in 2007. Was it pretty? No. If you find anybody in an initial release that released something perfect, I want to know what you're on and when you started taking it this morning, because I want a little bit of that before I leave. It doesn't work that way. There's problems. But over time, what has happened is different jurisdictions have adopted the application. And I say adopted because they took it and made it their own. Stacy doesn't stand in Florida and tell the other jurisdictions, this is how you're going to use it, here's the next update, here's how you're going to run your program. It gives them the freedom to take the core and expand on it to meet their particular needs. If you're wondering who these are, the pretty one is from Wyoming, and that's the one up in the right-hand corner. The one underneath is Kansas, who's just been working on theirs. The one to the left is Tennessee. The one up is at the top left is Indiana. Well, each one has taken the initial code, developed, modified it to meet their own needs, and then produced a product that works well for them. But it's basically based on the fundamental code set that we actually put out and made available to anybody that wanted it. Again, the only caveat being, as I had talked to Kansas before, and if you're in the room, I'm not picking on you, but the idea is no matter what you do, whoever you bring in, they do not walk out with that code. That code is owned by public health. It is not owned by vendors. And even if you do bring in vendors, they are leave the code in the room. Because what we don't want is for you to pay $1.5 million for a product that looks awfully familiar, but packaged in a different way. So here's my point. We seem to be at an interesting crossroads for me. 10 years ago, if I had talked about collaborative development across jurisdictions, I think most people would have laughed at me. Today, honestly, I ask if you're at the crossroads because I don't know what other choice you have. Can you honestly sit down and take out 20% of your annual budget and spend it on IT resources? Or can you work together across major jurisdictions, create collaborative environments or coalitions or groups of states who can start pooling their resources? Maybe you've got someone in Kentucky that's a great DBA. If you don't know what that is, that's a database analyst. Maybe you've got someone in Tennessee who's a great programmer. What's wrong with starting to work together to create a product that we can all use? It's just a thought, and I throw it out there because I think you're facing some very difficult times. And the whipping child of every program is always the IT technology because it seems to cost so darn much, and the question that always comes back is what is the return on the investment? Because when you spend that kind of money, every time you spend a dollar on technology, that's a dollar you couldn't spend on a chlamydia test, it's a dollar you couldn't pay a DIS, it's a dollar taken away from some other service. So the long shot of this is not to give you a product to sell a product, but to sell an idea. I hope you can see it works. We're working with over a dozen states. And believe me, I say a dozen or more because right now some of them can't even afford to buy a server at this point. And yet they have such a tremendous need. So my plea to you as the leaders of the STD programs across the country is consider this. It's a golden opportunity. It's one that we haven't explored completely before, but I'm sure it could be a tremendous success if we pool all of those wonderful resources together. And just one other note, just a side note from our own experience. You would be amazed at the amount of information and knowledge that's contained in people that are this close to retirement, folks. And when they walk out the door, there is no POG in the world that's going to capture that knowledge. Tap it now. Translate it into something that works before we lose that entire generation that was used to dealing with syphilis on every corner and every burn barrel in the country. Because once it's gone, it's gone. So my other thing is, let's start working together to put that into some kind of real and tangible transportable resource that's useful across the country. And that's it.